B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Buddy, happy Thursday to all across the Delaware Valley. Oh, I hope everybody is surviving. We hope everybody is kind of getting through this thing. Every day we will wish you our best wishes and our prayers and hopes that we get through this thing in one piece. And all you people on the, everybody who's on the front lines between all the medical people, the supermarket people, delivery people, that those people that are keeping us safe and amid this social distancing, we really, really thank you from the bottom of our heart. And we're here from you. We're here for you. We'd like to hear from you. Just give us a buzz. And as always, we'll talk through this thing and have some fun and take your mind off of it today. Well, it's kind of melancholy because as I look outside, I see luminous sunshine today. And you know what today was supposed to be? Today was supposed to be opening day. That's right, baseball today. Supposed to have Phillies baseball today. Something special about opening day, it always is. We think about baseball, you go, wow, my God, spring is going to come soon. And I look outside, and it feels that way, right? You look outside, it's going to be 60s today and sunny, and you start to think about spring, and you think about baseball. But we got to wait a little bit longer for baseball. And I know that kills you, Chunas. Good morning.
Hi. I'm miserable today.
I know you are. I feel for
you. I basically woke up today. And I knew yesterday that today was going to be opening day, but I tried just forgetting about it as much as I could. And then when I woke up today and I looked at the date, I basically just got kicked in the you know what. Like that was how I felt when I woke up this morning.
I know.
Today's a holiday for me.
It is. It's a great day. You and I would be going over pitchers.
Yes.
You know, we'd be doing the whole thing. Phillies, Marlins.
You think about it, these last few weeks. Obviously, the world sucks, but things have been ripped from us. The tournament ripped from us. We were gonna have a day where you and I, we're doing a show, right? We would have done a show at a sports book and hung out and had a lot of fun. And then today, we probably would have, even though they're on the road in Miami, we still probably would have been somewhere to have fun, get ready, welcome baseball back, and here we are.
What was the Tuesday games? Were they still spring training, or was that? Was that the start of the season, or is today the official start? I know for us it is.
Oh, you know what? They probably do that because they always have that game a few days before everyone else.
I didn't see it. It was weird. You know, I don't know if they had if they were going to play that game. Anyway, Thursday, today, it would have been a full slate of games just about. Phillies and Marlins, White Sox, Royals, Nationals, Mets, Tigers, Indians, Cubs, Brewers, Yankees, Orioles, Red Sox, Blue Jays, Dodgers, Giants. Oh, my God. We've been talking about Angels and Astros. The whole thing. Braves, Diamondbacks, late night ESPN. Usually broadcast the five games, you know. You get the stagger. But I have done a show for 20 years running. And it started with baseball. And years ago, I'll tell you a little inside radio, Chunas. I got to tell you, we used to have a ban on baseball. So there was a guy when I was at the other station. He was a great guy. He was a great boss. His name was Tom Bigby, but he had this thing about baseball. He, and I loved baseball, like you can well imagine, right? And he didn't allow us to talk about baseball. Could you imagine that, Trinus?
No, I couldn't imagine that. I would probably get fired. I would break rules.
Like, he would say to us, now again, the Phillies were in a bad spot. Let's remember this. Like, it was vet decrepit days, and they were a bad team. Remember, they had their worst year in 99. They were horrible. And in 2000, they didn't get much better. But when I...
Oh, man, and Robert Person. Things didn't get much better?
My boy Rico Bronya.
Come on, Lieberthal.
Yeah.
He's a few years in.
All right.
Desi Relford was still at short. What do you mean things weren't good?
But I'll never forget. I used to be like, what do you mean we can't talk baseball? Like, baseball, man. Like, don't talk baseball. Talk football. And that was the edict that came down from the boss. And so I was allowed to do certain shows, and I do it before every season. You know this. What do you love about baseball? What do you love about football? What do you love about basketball? And it's everything that you love about the game. And I just had to phrase the question differently back then. I had to do, what do you miss about baseball? You know, like, what do you love best about it? And then every once in a while, I'd bring up the Phillies and I can almost hear the thunder of the footsteps as he would make his way from his office down to the studio to say, stop talking baseball.
Right.
But that was real. Like, that was, it was unbelievable. It was real. And you know, and baseball was much more popular back then as well, too. Now, Phillies were no good, and the Eagles got all the attention. And, you know, rightly so. We should have talked more Eagles. But there was a ban on it. Like, it was almost like, you know, Prohibition days.
Which I don't understand. I mean, you had Omar Dahl, right?
Prohibition days. You know what I mean? Omar Dahl.
Come on, man.
How great is that?
McNabb over Dahl? No, come on. You'd rather talk McNabb?
We talk draft. We talk all kinds. That's where all the whole thing, schedule. Right? We should talk schedule. Like, all that stuff started back then in 2000. But we didn't, there was an edict. And I remember going, we're like, what do you mean? And I was fresh coming from the Inquirer. And I, you know, again, you remember, I mean, I used to do a lot of the baseball stuff and playoffs and World Series. I've been to like a streak of how many World Series in a row. And I'm like, what do you mean we can't talk baseball? It's crazy. But that was like an edict. Today, we would have had opening day. We would have did the show, what do you love about baseball? And I still want to do it. Like, what do you actually love about the sport? I know we groan about, of all the four sports, we probably groan about baseball the most. But what do we love about it, man? Because there's nothing better, like, to me, than being at the ballpark and just on one of those nights where it's 70 degrees, that kind of slight breeze that bathes you, and you're just watching a ball game. It is, and that's Citizens Bank Park. I don't care how it never gets old to me. That place is Xanadu. That place is a beautiful, beautiful ballpark. I love that ballpark, man. It never gets old, Tunis.
No, they did such a wonderful job on that stadium, and I've you know, a lot of my memories as a child was at that ballpark, right? It opens up in 2004. I'm still just 10 going on 11 years old at that point, and it was just so it was a nice family place, right? Everybody, I hear the stories about the vet. I went to the vet when I was a kid, but I was young. I was naive. I didn't really pick up on the things that was going on at the vet during my younger years of my life. But Citizens Bank Park, really a family place, too, and just a lot of space, which was good. In the seats, there was space. Of course, you had Ashburn Alley to walk around, and you had the view of the city.
The design was
perfect.
Impeccable. I mean, it was. I mean, right down to the skyline and the outfield.
Yep.
It's a beautiful place. Of all the things, and listen, I got my gripes with the Phillies over the years because there's been times where they haven't done right by the fans, at least the ownership piece. But I love them, and they're special. Like, they have a special place in my heart because, you know, like, you spent your childhood at Citizens Bank Park. I spent mine at the Vet. And again, like, I remember my mother and my aunt taking us to games, right? Like, every day. Like, we used to go. I mean, and my friends all worked down there. I mean, we used to go to 50, 60 games. And you would go, and you would go for cheap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, remember, the Vet held, you know, 70,000 people, 68,000 people. So there was always a seat to be had at the Vet. And, I mean, you know what's crazy? If you think about, we got Larry Bowe on today, and I want to ask Larry about this. But imagine Citizens Bank Park, which is amazing, and how it used to rock during the playoffs. Imagine 68,000 people rocking for baseball. Like, you never experienced that.
No, I didn't. Because, again, the Phillies stunk when I was a kid. I mean, I was at the, I believe, second-to-last home game at the Vet. Either second-to-last or the last home game at the Vet. I forget which one. But that was, like, really the only time I remember it being really loud. And that was just because of the closing of the Vet and the festivities. Phillies were already out of it at that point.
Yes.
That was actually Jim Thome's first year with the Phillies, was 2003, the final year of the Vet. So at least there was sort of like somewhat of excitement for the future. And that was like really the only buzz about it. Other than that, there was no noise about those teams.
No.
That team didn't care.
No, there was none. None. All right. But today, and our playback will be, ha ha ha, one of the great, great ones. Tunis, we've talked about it this week, and we played one of the cuts this week, in fact, because we had Joe Buck on. And he talked about how much he loved being in Philadelphia. And this one was at Dodger Stadium. And, of course, in 2008, Game 5 of the NLCS. That stares into the night. Perfect game to relive today. So we'll do that today, coming up at 12:20. But I got the Phillies 5 for you. It's a baseball 5. And I'll give you the 5 questions coming up. Tunis will be on the clock, and we'd love for the rest of you to join in and tell us what's going on in your lives. Let's have some fun, take our mind off of the quarantine. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. That's how you join us on what would have been opening day in Philadelphia. Wow. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis. Just getting started right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right. Oh, I so badly want to say happy opening day to all across the Delaware Valley. I so badly want to say that. Yes, I know. We need to come up at some point between now and the start of the season. I don't know, May, June. We need to come up with a song, Tunis. So I can say to you, play the song, Andrew. After the
Phillies, we talked
after
about
the
that.
Phillies win.
We talked about that at the auto show, I remember.
Yeah. We need one.
We do need one. But it's got to be, energetic.
I remember somebody suggested the High Hopes. It's just, it's too slow.
Nah.
It's got to be something that hits you as soon as I play.
I'm out on the High Hopes, yeah. For obvious reasons. We're going to come up with something good. We're going to get something good. All right, I got the Phillies 5 for you. Are you ready?
I'm in. Yes.
All right, here you go. This is the Phillies 5. First question is the question of the day, and that is, what do you love about baseball? All right, so I want you to take these right now. I want you to do it. You're going to go off the cuff.
Okay.
And a little bit later on, you can change your answers. But right now, I want you off the cuff. What do you love most about baseball?
Man, where do I begin? That's a really good question.
I know, because you have a love affair with it.
I
do too, but I know how much you adore it.
I think number one, it goes back to my childhood, and I have so many memories about it. And when I think about baseball, I think about playing wiffle ball with my friends and playing makeshift baseball games. Yes. We used to go to the field, and it would be 2-on-2, and we did, okay, because I was a left-handed hitter, so I could only hit it to right field. Right, like, so we made up every game possible to try to play baseball because everybody had a mitt, everybody had a ball, somebody had a bat, and that was one of the easier sports to play. Hockey was tough unless you had the street equipment, and football, obviously, you played touch or tackle, but, you know, you didn't have the pads. Baseball, you felt real still playing, like, 2-on-2 baseball or 3-on-3 baseball. So I go back to my childhood, but just everything about it, the smells, right? You walk into the ballpark, you can smell the hot dogs, you can taste the beer right when you walk on, and the amount of scars I have from sliding. Like, I look at my elbow right now, I got patches of just darker skin because that's where scars from diving into second base. I have scabs on my knees. I have a scar on my thigh from a guy sliding late in the home plate when I was catching. So, like, my body reminds me of baseball because I just have scars everywhere. I can't really give you an exact answer because I love so much about the sport.
I know.
But it's Americana, as Mike Miss says.
Well, it is. It is Americana. When you said, and this is so true, makeshift games.
Yes.
Because there's nothing better. Like, I can go back to when I was, we were little kids, and I talk about my cousin all the time, but we used to vet these games.
Yeah, because you couldn't get 18 kids. It was never possible, right?
Well,
you could get 12, but you could never get 18.
No, you're not doing that.
But somebody was busy, always.
Like, man, we used to play. I loved half ball. Half ball was my favorite. We used to play a game called, it was like stick ball. It was like fastball, it was called.
Right.
And you played it with a box against the wall. So you played against the church. And I used to love it. Oh, my God.
I can't tell you how many fights we got in as kids. It was crazy.
It was the best. The best time is when the St. Monica's Church on 17th Street is, like, it's tall, right? And then one of my favorite memories is, like, I hit my first home run at fastball. I had to be, you know, like, 10 years old. And I was, like, the little guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I remember somehow I hit a home run. They looked at it like, how'd that happen?
That's awesome.
It was like the great feeling. Because there's nothing like roofing a ball, right? Like that whole thing. But no, we used to be in the house. I remember being in the house with us, and we'd be pitching and using our hand as a bat and a rolled up ball of paper.
Yep, you know? Did that.
I mean, oh my, you're right. The wiffle ball.
I had the mini bats that you could get at the stadium, like the little replica bats. I played those in the basement, and if you hit the back wall, it was a home run. If you hit the side wall, it was a single or a double, depending on where you hit it. Oh, we did everything. I mean, I played baseball 365 days a year, pretty much. I played in the winter when there was a league that we played in where it was only the batting cage, so it was the pitcher.
Right. Right.
The catcher and the batter. And if you hit it a couple, like, they had these markers set up on the screen. So if you hit it to the back wall, you got 5 points. If you hit it a little bit to the right, it was 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, and the back wall was 5 points. And there was an umpire, there was a pitcher. You couldn't see because the wall was pretty much white in the background. Like, it was kind of dumb, but it was a way, it was like pre-spring training.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I played all year round, and it was awesome.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right. Look at this. That was the first question.
I could go on for hours.
I know. Well, it's a fun day.
As a player and as a spectator, and you name it.
I want to do this today because, you know, I mean, obviously we talked tons of draft and Howie's talking today. And so we'll replay the Howie conversation a little bit later on the program. But it's a good excuse because it would have been opening day to talk baseball. All right, give me, you get, and this is, goes back to what we do every day at 12:20, but this is a personal thing. You get to relive one game experience. So, and that means one of your favorites that stands out. It could be you were at the game or you were watching with your father. It's got to be a moment that is special to you. Not special to the Phillies, special to you.
I think, honestly, it's the playback that we did last week. It was game 162 of 2007 because that was the first time I really experienced winning as a sports fan. I saw the Sixers get to the NBA Finals, but I was 7 years old, right? So
yes.
I was a young pup. That 2007, when they won the division on game 162, final game of the season, I was there. So it was kind of cool when we did the playback last week. I never heard the broadcast because I was at the game. So that was kind of cool for me last week. But, I mean, the whole day driving there early, I remember the traffic was just brutal because everybody was going to the stadium because it was a sold-out crowd, standing room only. Standing room tickets sold out. So I would relive that day, the moments I told you last week. I was waiting in line to get a Schmitter when the Marlins took a 4-1 lead against the Mets. And I was, 13. My dad goes, wait here, don't lose your spot in line. He runs over to see the out-of-town scoreboard and saw that the Marlins took the lead. He's running back, jumping up and down. Like, everybody's going nuts. He told everybody at the Schmitter line. The Schmitter line's now having their own round of applause for the Marlins because we didn't even see the score. So I would relive that day or when they won it in
08. Cool. Your father's cool.
Yes. He's a great man.
I love that about him.
We did that 17 game plan, from 2003 until 2012.
That's
so
fantastic.
17 games. And then we ended up going to extra games. So I went to at least 20 games a year probably for, 9 years?
It's funny. You and I, similar. It was my birthday present for same thing, at least 6 years. They got me like the Sunday plan.
Oh, that's awesome. And there's nothing like the Sunday baseball.
And I'll never forget that.
1 o'clock start.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
The best. I remember when the tickets would come and they were all like together. So you would have to
rip them apart.
Yes.
Yes. And the players were on them. At least when we went, we had the players on it.
Yeah.
And if there was something, for some reason, every game we got was a Kyle Kendrick start.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
So it sucked, right? It was like a blessing when, Cole Hamels was on the mound.
But for the most part,
somehow the season lined up.
That's great.
And we didn't do Sundays, so it wasn't like just that fifth day of the week. It's just every start, it lined up to be Kyle Kendrick on the mound.
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, my God. That's good stuff. I want to go back, but I got tickets and all my credentials. At some point, I want to go throw them. And when my kids are a little older and they can appreciate it, give it to them.
I sold my World Series Game 3 ticket.
That's awesome.
And that's another day that I would relive.
That's awesome.
It didn't start till 10 o'clock. We were all huddled under the left field where the balcony sort of goes over, right near Harry the K's. That's what, we were just all huddled down there trying to avoid the storm.
That's cool, man. That's real cool. All right, number three, because we may never get through this.
No.
Number three of the Phillies, the baseball five today, is this. Give me your favorite baseball/Phillies gear and tchotchke. Like, I got a Charlie Manuel bobblehead that he
That's
signed.
Awesome. That's great.
Right, that I have for the kids, because, you know, him and I are close. And, everybody knows that. At least I thought. And then I give it to my kids and they love it. Cause I told you the story that he and I are talking on the phone and I have him, on speaker, right? And he's cursing up a storm.
Yes.
And my little Anthony is going, his mouth's going oh my God, the words he's saying. Oh, it was great. It may not have been about Gabe and that crew.
Probably.
It was awesome.
Let's open it up and chat.
It was awesome. Anyway, give me your favorite Phillies, you know, either gear, T-shirt, whatever, and or and tchotchke.
So I have three little things that come up to mind. One was a 34-inch bat that they did at the stadium where they would put your name in it. So my dad surprised me with that one year, and that was just the coolest thing.
Man.
And of course, I never used it, right? Because it's got, you know, it's got my name on and stuff like that. So I still have that at my house. I have a Randy Wolf jersey that was blue, and for some reason I love it because it's blue. It was different than all the other red ones. So for some reason I love that one. And then finally, I haven't worn this thing in years, but I still have it in my closet. Remember in 08, they wore the hats with the ear flaps because of how cold it was.
Yeah.
I got one of those. Now,
I
never really wear it, but I look at it. Like, I'll because it reminds me of 08, because they wore those ear flaps. I remember Jimmy Rollins pumping his fist when they won the World Series with the ear flaps down.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
Again, I don't wear it because during the wintertime, I'm not really walking around with a Phillies hat on. Right. And you kind of look like a dope with the ear flaps down, but
that's cool.
I still have it, and I just look at it.
No, I love it. That's great. That's great. All right, question number four. Pick one of the five senses, right? You know, sight, smell, hearing, taste, touch. Pick one of the five senses and explain baseball with that sense.
Immediately I go hearing.
You smell or you go hearing?
I immediately go hearing because the crack of the bat and the pop of the glove.
Yes.
But I will change my answer to touch. And that's because, you know, I pitched before I blew my arm out. So feeling the seams and knowing where to grip the ball, throwing a curveball, slider, fastball, changeup, you name it. I was a catcher for a long time. So being able to catch the ball, some guy's trying to steal second, you got to try to get the four-seam grip real quick, right? It's almost,
yes,
you don't even
yes.
think about it. It's just
right.
it's to the point where
yes.
you have to get the ball out so quick that you find that four-seam grip to throw it down to second base. So I'm going to actually go with touch because I was the no batting gloves guy, but I still use pine tar. So
okay.
I had the blisters all over my hand and all that kind of stuff. So I'll go touch.
Did you pee on your hands?
No, I was not Moises Alou.
That was a big deal.
Yes, it was. No, I did not pee on my hands.
A lot of guys would always pee on their hands. And then finally, give me three Phillies you love, three Phillies you hate all time.
Love is Chooch is one of them. He's the top. Chooch and J-Roll are my two top loves. And then, of course, Jamie Moyer has got to be up there.
Yeah, you love Jamie.
I love Jamie. I love Jeff Jenkins, too, but he wasn't here long enough. I liked him when he was with the Brewers before.
Yeah.
Three Phillies that I hate. There's so many that I hate. That's the thing. As much as I love this team, there's so many Phillies players that I just hated.
It is funny. There's definitely more
hates yes.
than any other team.
Yes, you're probably right.
I mean, obviously you have a lot of players, but you think about Eagles. Eagles have double roster, right?
Right.
You hate more Phillies than you do Eagles. I think.
Here's the thing. Two names that come right to my mind, they don't have big enough roles. Like, I hate Pat Neshek because I think he's a J.O. and he comes off as a J.O. and I also just hate the way he pitches. I hate Andrew Knapp because he stinks. But, like, he doesn't play a big enough role for me to say, oh, yeah, I hate him. Like, I hate Travis Lee because I remember he was so hyped up.
Dude.
So Travis Lee is an all-time hate for me.
He was horrible. Travis D.
Horrible. And I remember you telling me that he was such a nice guy, but I hated him as a ball player. Sal Fasano, Sal's pals, couldn't stand him.
He was a great... I mean,
nice man, I've heard, yeah.
He was a great dude, but I mean, with Sal Fasano, right? Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Man. It's all these backup guys that I hate.
I'll give you a guy, though, that to me, he was the worst. And everybody, and we used to argue about it. And it was Scott Rolen.
Yeah. He broke my heart.
He was a great player, but he was a miserable of the first. Just a miserable SOB. And I never understood it. I never got it. I mean, he's a great ball player, the whole thing. His locker was next to Rico Bronius.
Really?
Yeah. And Rico and I were friends from New York. And he grew up in Watertown, Connecticut. So when Rico came up, he was one of these guys that had an epic first 30 games.
Yes.
Right? Like 357, 11 home runs. Like, it was like ridiculous. It was like torrid what he did. And so I went to Watertown, Connecticut, and did this whole story about how this is where he's from. Well, was it Watertown, New York? I don't know where. It was Watertown. I forget where. Maybe it was Connecticut, I think. Anyway, I go to Watertown, and his parents were beautiful people. I sat with his parents and ate crabs and spaghetti with him.
Really? It wasn't Connecticut, by the way.
It was Connecticut?
Yes. Yeah.
And they were the whole town. It was like this little town. It was awesome. The people were fantastic. So I loved them, man. Rico and I were good friends. But I used to go see him all the time when he was here. And Roland was next, and he never smiled. And all I kept thinking about is, dude, you're playing baseball, man. How come you're not smiling? How come you're so miserable? You know?
Yeah, and he was such a good ball player.
He was. He had a great glove. He could hit for power. He hated Philadelphia. Man, did he hate Philadelphia.
You know who's going to get a lot of votes for the hate today? And I'm actually kind of against that. Your all-time saves leader. I know he was a J.O., but Jonathan Papelbon.
Papelbon?
I know he was a terrible person, it seemed. But apparently, if you talk to anybody that was on that team, they loved him. And he was a very good pitcher. And people think he stunk here. He didn't. He was actually really good here. It's just the team stunk.
Yeah.
Like, the team was terrible when he was here.
I don't think Papelbon is worse.
People don't like Papelbon because they think of the Bryce Harper, the choking each other out. And that was that was in D.C. That wasn't even here.
No. Like, Papelbon, to me, it was just turned out to be a bad signing because, you know.
But he was still talented. Like, he still played
good enough.
Exactly. They weren't good enough. He still was really good.
No, I mean, listen, I agree with you. But the guy that I hated was not the closer I hated was not Papelbon. Could you tell me who the closer I hated was?
Jose Mesa?
No, not Joe Table.
I was going to say.
Joe Table. I love Joe
Table. Papelbon passed him for all-time saves.
Joe Table was a great dude.
What era?
I was a big fan of your era.
You out on Ken Giles?
No.
I was going to say.
Come on, man.
I'm trying to
get. You got to.
Obviously not Lidge.
No.
Post-Lidge, pre-Lidge.
You're warm.
Post-Lidge or pre-Lidge?
Come on. I'm not going to give you that. If I say you're warm, came from the same team.
Oh, Wags?
Yes. Billy Wagner. He was a great velo.
I did like him when I was a kid because he was the only guy that could see throwing 100 miles per hour.
He ripped the fence.
I know. He would get booed if he hit 99 on the gun.
They weren't booing him.
It was ridiculous. Fun boos.
Exactly. It's ridiculous. And you know what? You know, it was funny, man, because I tell you the story about Randy Wolf called me on the show.
No.
So.
Oh, wait. Yeah, but he didn't call like the hotline, right? He just called in?
Yes.
Yes. But okay. I remember this.
He didn't say who it was.
Right.
So I'm doing the show, and it's 2001, maybe 2002. I don't know. I was by myself, and I broke the no baseball thing. And I was talking about how our supreme disgust of the Phillies. And the guy calls up, and he's got, like, the accent and all, right? And I go, and he goes, why are you hating on the Phillies? I go, dude, I love the Phillies. But they stink. This ownership doesn't, blah, 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 blah. And I was going on this whole rant. And then I say to him, I go, where are you from? And I, you know, whatever. And I go, you got to understand the pain that we suffered as Philly fans. The last decade of nothingness, you know, and I'm going on. And you know how crazy I can get and passionate, right? And so we're arguing, and I hung up on him. And then I'm at the ballpark. Who comes up to me but Randy Wolf and go, dude, that was me.
No, really? That's awesome.
I go, why you say something? He goes, I wanted to just, you know, I was having some fun, but I wanted to actually, you know, talk to you.
Meanwhile, he can't talk. He had a fan club. He had the Wolfpack, man.
Yeah, I used to hate on the Wolfpack.
Why? Oh, man. Well, I had their time.
I know. But then remember, we rewarded mediocre baseball.
Well, man, right? Nice hook.
Dude, he used to get.
I loved Randy Wolf.
Did you really? That 65 mile an hour.
Yeah, man.
Oh God!
First pitcher to start at Citizens Bank Park.
Yeah, I hate you. How you do?
I know that. I'll pop my head.
That's good trivia work by you, brothers. No, I got to tell you, I hate. You know this. I don't know if you know this about me, but I hate slop guys. I like. Give me a guy who throws hard.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's basically Cole Irvin.
Right. You like Jamie Moyer.
Oh,
guys
yeah.
Guys that are pitch smart. I respect that. I like the big arm.
At the corners, man.
I like the big dummy that just throws gas. Give me the guy that throws gas.
You mean like Jonathan Broxton, who you'll hear from later today?
Oh, that's great. Into the night. All right. Lots to get to. That's the five. I want you guys to take the five. I want to talk to you guys about this. Let's talk a little baseball today, shall we? Have some fun. Talk some ball. Would have been opening day. And take your mind off of everything. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, would you like a greener weed-free lawn that's also safer for your family and pets? That's Natural Lawn of America. That's your answer. That's right. Natural Lawn of America. They use safer organic-based products that reduce the amount of chemicals used in their lawn. Now, this creates a safer lawn for you, your family, and your pets to enjoy. With Natural Lawn, you're not going to scarify beauty for safety. For over 30 years, Natural Lawn has provided homeowners with greener grass and fewer weeds using their exclusive organic-based lawn care programs. This is not a one-size-fits-all service. Nah. It's customized treatments for your lawn's specific need. Wet, dry, sunny, shady. Whether you live in PA or Jersey, Natural Lawn's programs will deliver that lush green lawn you've always wanted. Right now, they got a special deal for our listeners. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program. Receive free seating every year. That's free seating every year. Call Natural Lawn today. Let them know that Cuz hooked you up. Call 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. Cuz Radio with Tunis would have been open today. So let's talk baseball. You know, listen, this is what we're doing. We're banding together, and it's a beautiful day, luminous sunshine across the Delaware Valley. So let's talk some ball. Let's begin with Vince in South Philly. Vince, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good morning on this bright, sunny day, man. It's so nice to have the sun out here. I'll tell you, you brought back so many memories here about half ball and everything. You know, we have the you know, like I said, the half ball, you know, there's the underhanded one. And then, like you were saying, before they built these new houses up my street, we had the wall where the little, you know, the S with the circle around it.
Yes.
You know, it was great, man. Yes. I'm thinking, oh, man, that's just like right up my wheelhouse there. You're bringing back all these memories, man. I just, I wish I'd go outside now to play half ball, you know, but unfortunately.
You know what I want to do so bad? One day, I want to just blow work off, right?
Yeah.
And just play half ball day. Get a quart of beer. Leave it in a brown paper bag and play half ball all day long.
Yeah.
That's all I want to do.
Yeah. Hey, you got to talk me through some of this stuff. And you brought up so many things. I'm like still half asleep here. I slept in late. But I was just thinking, you were talking about like great baseball games I've been at or things like that.
So it's a game that's near and dear to you, that's special to you, that you get to relive. One game.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's funny. Like I said, my dad, you know, being from Italy, I always thought it was great when I would take him to, like, American sporting events. And he really got into baseball once I showed, you know, just from watching it with me and stuff. I even still remember, this is back at the Vet, believe it or not, but it was like the first night game I ever went to. It was like the first year of the Vet. But anyway, I was even learning some new things. I wasn't even an expert. I remember, you remember a Phillies player by the name of Terry Harmon, like way back in the day?
Backup infielder.
Yeah. By the way, so he's up at the plate. They were playing the Padres. And next thing you know, like, it was like a strike three, and the ball got away from the catcher, and he was running toward first. And see, I didn't know that rule back then.
Ah, wow.
You know,
he
could run to first.
Yeah,
like, I was remembering stuff like that. And I'm thinking, wow, I didn't know that. You know, but I'm just saying, it was like those kind of little subtle things I remember. You know,
that's the beauty of baseball, is like all the subtleties of baseball, right?
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that makes it great, the simple complexity of it. Like, say, if the count's 2-0, like all of a sudden the infielder like moves a few steps to his right or to his left. You know, all those little subtle complexities, but it was so great. And plus, you know, when I was a kid, played Strat-O-Matic, and you learned that's how I learned how to be good at math. You know, from the statistics, too, man. I love doing that.
You know what's funny? I play fantasy, but I've never played the Strat-O-Matic baseball. And I just got like an email or something about how the Strat-O-Matic things, it's set for the simulation of the 2020 season.
Right,
so I just saw like a PR thing about it. Is it fun? Is it like...
Well, back then it was like a real simple game. You just played with like cards and dice. Now it's like computerized and, you know, everything else.
I
never upgraded that much. But no, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's simple, but it was a lot of fun.
There was a game. What was the game, Vince? Oh, my God. You had the cards. Was that Strat-O-Matic?
Well, there was also another...
Wheel. Yeah, what was that?
Oh boy, I think it was like it was like a four-letter acronym or something. I forget what it was, but yeah, it was.
I still love this game. It was like a weird baseball game.
Yeah,
with wheels and stuff.
I think it was that.
I played it on the air or something.
Yeah, by the way, but you know, it's funny too. The other thing, like I said, I got a picture of my dad with like Tommy Lasorda. You know, it's kind of neat because, like, my dad got to the point where he became knowledgeable. If, like, say, if Mike Schmidt was at bat, he would stop and watch his at bat. You know how, like,
that's cool.
You know, little things like that. I mean, I remember so many of those things. Or when they first started interleague play, like my dad said, "Wait a minute, why are the Mets playing the Yankees?" And so they changed the rules now. You know, like that's how I used to take pride in the fact that I was able to show him like how to watch the games and stuff. You know,
That's great, brother. That's good stuff, man.
Hey, real
that's
quick. Awesome.
Yeah.
When you replay that game today, I don't know if it was in that fifth game or not, but or the fourth game, I'm sorry. The that series with the Dodgers, like Victorino, didn't he at one point, like somebody threw tight on him and he almost went ballistic, like he was pointing to his head, then into his stomach. He was doing like these rapid like movements that say, "Don't throw at my head," like, but he was
I just remember the home run. Like he hit the home run that lipped over the into the bullpen.
Right, yeah.
I was in LA for the game. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember that. I'm sure it happened.
No.
Good memory.
It was game three.
It was game three.
Yeah, Hiroki Kuroda threw behind or at the head of Shane Victorino, but it went behind him, and he started pointing at his head like, "Don't throw my head, throw my back."
Oh, that's awesome.
So that was the benches
check
cleared that
the
game
big
three.
Brain on the Judas.
Damn right. And then game four, he hits the home run,
dude,
and
he stared
down the pitcher afterwards.
Judas, good job, man.
Also, because I was a baseball nerd growing up, the baseball card game that I played was called MLB Showdown. And it was a 20-sided die.
20-sided die. Wow.
So basically what you did was you...
Like double, single, double, triple, pop
so
out.
You would, yeah, you would roll the die. The batter would roll and the pitcher would roll. The pitcher always had the advantage. So like if you rolled a 10, but your pitcher had a plus 6 on their card, the better the pitcher, the higher the plus that they had.
Oh, right, right.
So if the pitcher rolled a 10, they automatically got like plus 6 and that would be 16. But if the batter had the higher roll, whatever that number was the number that you look at the card and that's what they would get. So, like, I pulled up a card online right now, and Griffey Jr., if you rolled a 14 with Griffey and you won, it was a single plus. And a single plus meant if there was a runner on second, that runner would score. Just the regular single,
great.
They would not score. But the single plus, they would score.
Oh, that's cool.
And because Griffey was a beast, he had a home run was 16 through 20. Normally, home runs were only like 18 through 20.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I did it all when it came to baseball growing up.
Did you? I don't think this is a. Oh, this game was old when I was a kid. I loved it, though. I mean, it was called, I think it was called All-Star Baseball. And it had, like, you made a lineup, had cards where you made a lineup. It had, like, a wheel. Like, so you hit the wheel with your finger, right? Like you spun the wheel, you flicked it.
I just found it. Yeah, All-Star Baseball. It's the same thing. It's the wheel, but instead of the die, it's the wheel.
Yes.
So the game that I just explained to you, it's the exact same game, except instead of a die, okay. You had a wheel.
I loved it, and the best was it was like it would be on or if it went on the edge. What is it? Is it double or is it triple or is it out?
Well, that's like, why they implemented the dice afterward because
right, the dice
you
can't right better
exactly.
Than a wheel. Oh, that's great. That is classic. Sean in media, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, I was going to talk about the NFL Films replaying the Super Bowl from 05 last night, but after this baseball Philly 5 thing, I don't want to talk about what could have happened. Just so we're on the record, McNabb blew that game. I mean,
yes,
and I watched so much stuff from that game last night. I watched the whole thing. I went outside last night, and my wife said, "Why are you outside?" I said, "Because we just lost the Super Bowl." Like, I almost relived the whole thing. It was disgusting.
Wait, Sean, how about the throw to Westbrook?
Oh, my God. It was behind. That's what I'm going to tell you. It was behind. It was, like, right there. He couldn't. Oh, my God. But because the turning point in that game, and I don't relive the whole thing, so I want to do the Philly 5.
Yeah,
the turning point in that game was Brady fumbled there in the red zone. We could have went up 14-0.
Yes.
They go three and out in like 20 seconds.
Yes, yes.
So they go three and out in 20 seconds, but when there's 2 minutes left in the game, they take 4 minutes for each play. It was just, and like you hear Joe Buck and Collinsworth, they're like, "What are they doing? What's going on?" Then you can pinpoint when the time the guy came to Belichick and goes, "They know what time it is. They know it's the end of the game." And Belichick, it's so upsetting to watch that. Why did they do that during this time in era?
Yeah. Now you're right on. That was the ugliest. That was a frustrating game because they should have won.
We had them.
I know.
7-0 deep into the second quarter. Like we had them. Brady looked frustrated. Our defense was on fire. Like we had them.
Yes.
And it's just McNabb just overthrowing worm balls. It's every day.
Oh, he was horrible. He was horrible the whole game. So it was March of after the Super Bowl. I'm in Andy's office, right? I go, "Let's talk about the Super Bowl." It's the first time he could like sit back and watch it.
Andy loved T.O., by the way, not to cut you off. He loved T.O.
He did. He, without a doubt. So I go, and so he turns back on me. He goes, "Why do you think we lost the game?" I went through a couple things, and then he goes, "I'm going to say one thing. They had 12.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed.
That was his line. They had 12, and we didn't.
Dude, it was like the tale of two teams. Because the first half, they kept talking about how the Eagles had them on the heels. The second half, they were talking about how like Tom Brady was so composed in the line. Then they kept going back to Donovan, just like not knowing what the hell's going on.
That's when the city started to change on 5.
Absolutely,
because he didn't take responsibility for it. Like,
no, he wouldn't. It was always, and that was just it. But anyway, I don't want to go, because I love this Phillies 5. So if you can give me some of these, give me a chance.
BackstageCountry.com,
your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.